reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This evening, the first lesson can be found in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at the 19th verse and following, and can be found on page 1303 in your pew Bibles. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Our second lesson comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning at the 10th verse and following. It can be found on page 1253. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your epistle lesson, where we read, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." This is our text. In all kinds of circumstances, in all different venues of life, part of the battle is just knowing who the enemy is and knowing what the truth is. And unfortunately, truth is not always easily recognized. When it comes to actual soldiers, one of the great figures of our military history is a guy by the name of Billy Mitchell. How many of you know that name? Huh, that's pretty good. Those of you who don't know who Billy Mitchell is, during World War I, he was the commander of all the aerial forces of the United States over in Europe. He's one of the few commanders who'd actually ever even flown a plane. And by the end of that World War, his planes had achieved total air superiority over the enemy. But when he came back to the States, even though he had the temporary rank of Brigadier General, he was demoted down to Colonel, and an artillery officer was promoted over him to head up the Air Force. Somebody once said military intelligence is an oxymoron. He became a very strident officer, arguing that we must build up our aerial forces because that's what the next war would be fought over with. But at that time, most people thought that World War I was the war to end all war. What naval investment was made was largely put into battleships. And he kept on arguing that a good air force could defeat all the battleships. That didn't go over very well with the Navy. And he challenged them to, if you will, have some tests where planes were given the opportunity to sink actual battleships. And they had some old ones that they had captured in the war. They decided to run their own tests, but they were conducted with sandbags and planted explosions on the decks of the ships. Probably not an effective test of military power. This is back in the 1920s. But he kept on pushing, which did not make him very popular, and he eventually got some other tests arranged. And, of course, he sunk the battleships with his planes. Proved that aerial power was very important to our national defense. Kept on pushing to have more aircraft carriers built than battleships, more money put into planes than in ships. He ruffled a lot of feathers. In 1924, he wrote a book. And in it, he said that the next war would be fought with Japan, that the war would probably begin with an attack on Pearl Harbor with a follow-up attack on the Philippines 4 hours later, that the attack would probably begin around 7:30 and would probably take place on a Sunday. He wrote that in 1924. He was off by 4 hours. For all of this, his military career was ended in 1926 with a court-martial. After World War II ended, he was awarded the Congressional Gold Medal for his foresight, but he'd already died in 1936. Truth is not very popular. Recognizing the enemy, even though it is boldly proclaimed, has consequences. You know, when you look at what works in life and what doesn't work, it's amazing how accurate the Bible is. What works in marriage? Well, getting married before you have children actually lowers the divorce rate significantly. And yet, in our world today, 55% of all teenagers, 55%, more than half of all teenagers, don't live with their biological parents. 27% of all American children are in single families. But they account for 62% of all children in poverty. I shared this one probably a couple of weeks ago. But if you go to church every week, that also statistically lowers your chances of getting a divorce by more than half. Where can you find such guidance as to how to live out your lives? The Scriptures. And yet, if I stood on a soapbox screaming these things downtown, how do you think I or you would be treated? Yeah, we know in our own midst, we're not all perfect. And we've all made mistakes. And not all of us are from the ideal family structure. But each and every day, God calls us to live by His truth. By that Word of God, which He has shared with us in Holy Scripture. And if we do live by that Word, even though it is the plain and obviously truth, which can in some senses be proven just by looking at what doesn't work in our world, we will be attacked for it. Ridicule for it. And if you say it in the wrong places, even fired for it, or arrested for it. We are in a battle. Make no mistake about it. And that is why the Apostle Paul encourages to put on the whole armor of God. Because without it, you cannot stand. There are no other tools that God gives us, but those tools which He gives us in the Holy Scriptures and in the sacraments. And part of that armor is remembering what Christ has done for us on the cross. Being able to put our past behind us through the forgiveness that He has purchased for us. Being certain of our victory and our hope in the life that He gives us. We have to be sure about those things because we're wrestling not against just flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. There is a war that is going on, and it is going on for our souls and the souls of others. And therefore, we have to take up the whole armor of God to stand in that day. We have to know what the truth is and be uncompromising about it. We have to put on God's righteousness and put our sins behind us. As shoes for your feet, put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And the devil does throw a lot of darts. What, do you think you're so good? You know, you're not perfect. He'll point out all your sins and all your mistakes. Who are you to tell me what to do? You have to remember, that yes, in many ways you aren't perfect. But as I love to remind you, in the only way that counts, you are made perfect in the waters of baptism. Made perfect by God's revelation to you of what the truth is, confirmed in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And equipped with that confidence, that's when you can then take up the sword and not just stand there defending yourself, but go to battle. And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. You cannot defeat Satan with mere logic or reasoning or emotion, because the Spirit works through the Word. And that's what we need to argue with. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. When we do speak God's Word, we need to remember to speak it in love. With the same kind of love that God has had for us, where He is willing to shed His own blood that we might be saved. And when we share the Word of God with others, we are going to be taking risks. And there may be prices we have to pay for sharing that Word. But the victory's already been won. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. Our salvation is secure. The real treasures of life are already stored up for us, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done. And it is with that knowledge, that security, that peace, and we can go forth and do battle for the souls of those we love and care about, which is hopefully everyone you meet. Because God so loved the world. We are in a battle. But in one sense, the battle outcome is for certain. Because the real war to end all wars has been fought. It is the war that Jesus Christ fought with Satan on the cross. And when he cried out, "It is finished," the battle was won. And when he rose on Easter, the victory was secured. Let us go forth with the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, "Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice," was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.